This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Thursday, working towards the weekend, an NFL preseason home game on Saturday. Sitting here on Thursday looking ahead. I went to the big ballpark last night. I was out at the Cardinals facility yesterday, their training facility in Glendale, and sat in on a very interesting press conference. When we left you yesterday, we had the Cardinals and the Final Four and the releasing of the economic impact. So that is happening, and I'll get into that on today's show. We'll talk about the Raiders today. The Raiders are coming in with a very good team at certain positions, and of course, like anybody else, trying to figure it out, but a lot of skill for the Cardinals to face on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Starters will go 15 plays. Lincoln Kennedy is going to be with us today. Big Lincoln is the Raiders color analyst. He's a Pac-12 network analyst. He is someone that I've known all the way back to high school in San Diego. A very good man and very, very good on the air. So Lincoln Kennedy talking about the Oakland for now, Raiders. A lot to get into with him about Khalil Mack, Derek Carr, and playing time, and Amani Toomer, and right down the list, very good players there with the Raiders on Saturday night. We'll talk with Lincoln Kennedy about. It is Thursday, and that means we got to get you ready for the weekend. Goody at the movies, Bill Goody-Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, because there's more to life than sports. You got to go to the movies. Bill will be with us to talk about Wind River, Annabelle Creation, and Bigsby Bear. Which, I don't know. Today I've got Jared Nielsen as chairman of the board, and I've got Edwin Rodriguez as Eric Sorensen's clone. Either one of you, give me just a thumbs up. Either one of you heard of any of these movies? I have not heard of any of them. No. We're getting the no's. So, yeah, I haven't heard of any of them. I don't know if it's the almost mid-August, there's nothing in movies because everybody's back to school, or maybe these are three really good ones that are under the radar. Regardless, we'll have Bill with us. For our weekly conversation. So I'll start out with yesterday, just kind of sequential for me. And I think that for you to look at this a little differently and through the lens of there's something going on behind what was announced yesterday. Yesterday, the Cardinals, Michael Bidwell steps to the podium. This is out at the University of Phoenix Stadium. I get in with a show here. I blow out there. In walks Michael, dapperly dressed. In walks Governor Ducey. In walks some head honchos from different walks, people that are in the business sector behind the scenes that run the stadium out in Glendale, or that at least have an interest in what's going on in terms of events out in Glendale. And it's fine. You know, Michael steps up there and thanks some people and, you know, reminds them that they have a preseason game on Saturday and that the Cowboys are coming to town and all that. And he goes into the economic impact, which is, you know, it's not just the economic impact, it's the impact within the community. It was really what was being hammered yesterday is that this is something that is really good for just the community. It's not only for those that are caught up into the event on game day. It's what did they do when they came out here. For those of you that just like sports for yourself to go see it, it's fine. But for most of us, I think, we like our community to be diverse. We like our community to have really good arts, entertainment, and sports is part of that. Nobody does it better than we do here in Arizona. It's just we don't have the bright lights of New York or L.A. L.A. is not going to have a golf tournament that draws over 500,000 fans. They're just not. It's the number one stop for fun and a party and all that on the PGA Tour. And the PGA knows they need to embrace because they see what we're doing out here and so they got to figure it out. We've had this terrific run out at the stadium in Glendale where we've had all these mega events. We've had the Super Bowl. We've had the college football playoff. We've had the Final Four. Metallica was there the other night. They have great concerts. I've seen U2 out there. And so it's a benefit to our society, in my view. Some don't feel that way. There were some people there yesterday that had their teeth, their fangs hanging out, that just wanted to tear into the Cardinals, but more so into Governor Ducey on some things outside of sports, but some of it around sports that is sports really that important when we're talking about vouchers? I don't want to sit here and go on a rant about that because I got my kids in school. And I get that there's got to be a balance. But for those that don't believe that sports is not important for us with our climate and that we can do a really good job of hospitality, not tourism, but of hospitality, then I think you just, you know, you're looking just at yourself and you're not looking at the whole community. Some of you may be upset by that, but I think you've got to look at how do these events really benefit all of us. And so as I'm hearing all of this, behind the scenes, there's quite a bit that's going on just with some of our big programs. The Fiesta Bowl is under siege right now to keep their college football playoffs standing here. They're the third year of a six-year deal. They're in a renegotiation right now. I think San Francisco wants to take away the CFP standing. I think Houston would like to take away the CFP standing, and Vegas is lurking out there somewhere. The Fiesta Bowl is probably the one that I'm most concerned about in keeping our mega event string going here. Because I don't see a Super Bowl coming anytime soon, and Michael wasn't going to announce that yesterday. Michael's really the one that can do it, Michael Bidwell. As the press conference wore on, though, I'm sitting back saying, okay, there's got to be something else going on here. And they didn't mention it other than there was the date that the first events that were happening here in Arizona in the stadium took place. And then there's and we have more big events coming. Somewhere along the line, there's going to be a day where this stadium needs some upgrades. That's going to happen. Much like what we're hearing. I'm not saying it's happening today, but it's going to happen. It always happens with facilities. There will come a day, and I don't know if yesterday was the prelude, kind of the let's remind everybody while the Diamondbacks are in their stadium situation. And Robert Sarver wants his stadium situation. Robert is smart enough as a banker that he'll figure a way out to get it taken care of financially. Let's just remind people that we're out here and that we've got this jewel out here in Glendale, in some people's opinions. And then there's some in Glendale that are completely pissed off that it's out there and feel like the city has just been screwed over by sports teams, most notably the Coyotes. But that everybody in Glendale has not been seeing the benefit of what was pitched to them years and years ago. And I kind of felt like there was a little bit of greasing the skids and kind of like, here's what's coming down the runway at some point. Doesn't mean it's bad. I think it's only normal to talk about upkeep. But when it comes to upkeep, as we've seen with the Diamondbacks, not everybody is too thrilled to talk about it, figure it out, discuss it. So after this event's over, they didn't take questions like for me to bring some video to you today. They didn't put everybody up there one-on-one so I could look at them and say, you know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, wouldn't it be smart to establish a fund like they have in Texas where there's money that is sitting there that can be put in to put the bid out for these big major sporting events. Guys, if you just think it just happens automatically and you don't really care about the business side, it's fine. But if you're really into the community and from a business point of view, you have to understand that they just don't say, hey, come on in, let's play a football game. Hey, come on in, let's have Metallica here. It takes a lot of work. A Final Four just doesn't happen. Just doesn't like that. So establishing a fund, and I asked Michael about it, and he didn't want to talk about it much because it involved going to the legislature, and I think we know in this state that that's just not going to happen. But establishing a fund, if there is a bank account, and in that bank account there is, let's just say, $6 million to $10 million, and that $6 million to $10 million is used as part of the bid process, or used to be the bid process in order to go secure another event. Because it takes money to put on these events. It takes money to market these events. That maybe that's what needs to happen here in Arizona, because it's happening in Texas, and that's why they are doing laps around us. So that was part of it. And then I pulled Michael aside while I was still talking to him, just said, do you have an interest in the MLS? Everybody's been talking about Phoenix Rising and building their stadium over at the 101 and 202, and that sounds good, and I believe that that's a good group over there to do it. I don't know as the price tag is going up if it's going to happen, one, because we're talking north of $150 million to bring a franchise here. Two, Mike already has a building in place. MLS, you know, you're talking about a schedule where if you had a second tray of grass and you were able to roll that second tray in for soccer versus they've done a great job of soccer. Come on, guys. I mean, look at what, whenever there's a soccer match here, it's 60, 80,000. I mean, it's big. It's big crowds. So anybody that wants to shake their head and says, oh, you know, you're just loving on sports. I don't know, guys. Does every match sell out or come close to it? Oh, well, you know, some of these minor ones only draw 30,000. Yeah, that's 30,000 more. And there are NFL owners that are getting more and more involved in soccer. I want the MLS to come here. I do. I've been leading the charge on that from a media standpoint, taking the arrows of, yeah, I've been hearing about soccer since 1995. Dude, if you're one of those guys, don't even waste your time tweeting me. Don't even waste your time with an email. It's not happening. I've heard that nonsense for years and years. This would be something good for us. So there was a bunch that came out of there yesterday, but I think the overriding thing is, in the back of my mind, something about improvements is coming down the line. Michael admitting that if the MLS had an interest, and this was to me, nobody else, is to me, and I have it on tape. If you, you're just grasping. No, I don't. I asked him directly with tape recorder rolling. And I think the Fiesta Bowl, they didn't want to address that yesterday, and it was not the right place, but I think the Fiesta Bowl is the biggest concern here in the Valley right now in terms of keeping it going beyond its current deal, which expires with the 2020 game, which really is 2019, right? So that was there was that. I was out there for about 2 hours, went over to the Diamondbacks, had a great time last night, sat with Brian Hogan from Fox Sports Arizona. And a couple of interesting, really interesting guys in the business sector here in the Valley. Great seats. Cody Bellinger hit one that I don't think has landed yet off of Greinke. There's something, the buzz last night in the stadium of Cody at the plate against Greinke, and then he hits one, just a missile shot. Like, look out. It was something else. And the Beat LA chants versus Let's Go Diamondback chants. It was fun last night. It was a fun environment. It was a very good crowd. It had a feel of a late September crowd. I thought Torrey Lovello stuck with Zach Greinke one batter too long. On one hand, it's a $30 million pitcher that you have out there. He's your guy. He's your big gun. You got to stick with him. Should have pulled him before Puig. Chafin's up late. Chafin's in the game. Bases get loaded. No one's warming up down the line. There's going to be games where you've got to conserve your bullpen and go through your bullpen. I felt like last night, while they did dodge a bullet, Jake Lamb did not come up with a big hit last night. So it was a disappointing game in that regard, but number one watch show in Arizona last night was Diamondbacks Dodgers, and you know, people care. So tonight you've got Darvish and Banda. Banda's one of these guys. We'll talk about him here in a little bit. I'm a little late on the break. Lincoln Kennedy is next. We'll switch gears over to the Raiders and Cardinals with Oakland Raiders analyst Lincoln Kennedy, radio analyst, and of course he does Pac-12 Network work as well, Lincoln, a Valley resident. That is next. I am Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, sports360az.com, and we also partner with Fox Sports Arizona. Back with Lincoln Kennedy. Welcome back, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our football show, Fox Sports Arizona's Brad Sussmat Football AZ. 12 airings, 16 airings a week. Got to get our numbers right, 64 times a month. We bring it to you day in and day out. As promised, Lincoln Kennedy joins us now. Lincoln, of course, the Raiders, I would say Las Vegas Raiders, but that's a little premature. Pac-12 Network analyst and someone that I've known and covered since all the way back in his beautiful days in San Diego. It's always good to catch up with Lincoln Kennedy. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Lincoln, do you want to go Las Vegas Raiders first and how that's all played?
No. Yeah. They're the Oakland Raiders. Until that stadium is opened up and it's official kickoff, they are the Oakland Raiders.
All right. So, beast mode. Here's the questions I get. How much are we going to see Marshawn Lynch Saturday night against the Cardinals?
Saturday night? Well, look, here's the thing. We've seen more and more teams do this. They're going to guard their starters. I don't know how much we're going to see him Saturday night, maybe a couple plays. But I will tell you this, going into the season, I think you should probably expect to see number 24 touch the ball or at least be a part of the game plan 10 to 12, maybe at the most 14 times touching the ball. And that's pretty given when you talk about today's offense. Look, the Raiders have got the luxury of having receivers and Crabtree and Cooper, you know about. And then, of course, they've had a pretty good backfield with the young guys, DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard. Beast Mode adds a little bit more of a power, a package to that package. But there's only one ball to spread around. And I'm sure Derek wants to get back into the smooth, you know, to get back into a rhythm like he did last year. So he's going to be tossing it around as well.
Lincoln, what are you expecting out of Beast Mode this year? I mean, was it a surprise to you that he came to the Raiders, one? And two, what are you expecting yourself?
The answer to the first question, was I surprised? No, not really. I mean, he had always been a Raiders fan, of course, growing up in the town. And the Raiders needed a power back. They were not going to offer at the time Latavius Murray the money that he was asking for. Right. They wanted to get a big back. Yes, the draft was heavy, but the Raiders had a win-win situation, in my opinion. Now, you know, we're not necessarily pushing it off as a marketing ploy or anything like that, but it did boost revenues. It did boost sales for the Raiders, especially after the news dropped about the move that they signed a local kid who was a good, doggone good player that everybody loves. He's going to be representing Silver and Black. So I wasn't surprised by the move. And what to expect out of him is just, I think, you know, it's really hard to gauge when somebody's out of the game for a year
right.
and they've taken the amount of punishment as a running back that he did. But I just think that there's a possibility there for him to make big plays, and he's still got a good burst. It's really hard to gauge when you're going in practice and not a game. So we'll see. But I think he can bring a positive impact to at least a power running game for the Raiders.
Well, it's one of those storylines you look at nationally, and it's right up there as intriguing storylines because the Raiders last year did turn the corner, not just in a little way, but in a big way. And so if he is able to bring something, while everybody's looking at New England as the class of the AFC, I think that the Raiders do have some things there that could give them some problems.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, look, before you even talk about New England, I think the Raiders need to find out how to deal with Kansas City. It's been the Kansas City Chiefs have been a thorn in Derek Carr's side since he's been a Raider. I think he's 1-5 versus them. So they got to find a way to get over that hump before you talk about figuring out New England. But, yeah, you're right. The Patriots are the staple of the NFL. And if anybody thinks they have a chance to be a champion, they've got to be able to match up with that team right there. And everyone will tell you, especially on offense, that a quarterback's best friend is a good running game. And so if the Raiders are able to complement what Derek can do with his arm by running the ball and proving in critical times that they can get it done running the ball, I think this offense will be that much more dangerous.
Flip it over the defensive side of the football. You use your first-round pick on defense. Figure out the defense a little bit for the fans and what they may see on Saturday night.
You know, the thing is that these preseason games are incredibly vanilla.
Yeah.
And more times than not, it's really hard. Even I don't know who's going to, they haven't given out a depth chart to see how many times or how many players are going to do. But even I don't know who's going to start or who's going to play a lot. But with that being said and everything being extremely vanilla, you just want to see what type of athleticism these guys have. And Connolly's no different. So it'll be one of those wait-and-see games for the Raiders. It's a Raiders' first preseason game, but it's a Cards' second. So who knows if they get their starters in. But they didn't look too bad when they played against Dallas. So I think the Raiders might be in for a nice little game this Saturday night.
All right. Before you get out of here, you're also doing Pac-12 Network again this year, Lincoln?
Correct. I am.
All right. And so studio or out at the games?
I'll be doing, because I'm out at the Raiders games, I got to do studio with Pac-12.
So you got to do studio with Pac-12. And the expectation level here in Arizona is below the radar screen, I would say, with both the Sun Devils and Wildcats, at least around the Valley and down in Tucson. What is your view of these two programs coming into this season? What needs to happen for them to do anything in the South?
Well, you're going to have a lot of young talent stand up. But you've got the coaches and Rich Rod and Graham that are able to do it. I mean, the thing is, I believe the Pac-12 has a lot more parity than people give it credit for. Now, there's no doubt when you go and watch a team like SC, it is a football factory because they're 2 and 3 deep at every position, and they've got people in the wings waiting. But just like we've seen many times before, these guys have been able to be beat. So I think the South is pretty wide open, to be honest with you. I know SC is the favorite, but to me, it's pretty wide open. I see inconsistencies in every team from UCLA to Utah in the South. So Arizona and U of A have got their chances. I mean, A-State and U of A have got their chances to really do something. And if anything, just show progress. The thing is to get yourself to a bowl game so you can cap off the end of the season by in a positive note and win that bowl game. That's what you want. You don't want to take two steps backwards. But both teams, Wildcats and the Sun Devils, are going to have a lot of young talent stand up and be counted this season in order for them to be effective.
And in the North, is this the extended run for Chris Peterson? You're a former Husky. You're going to say, yeah, of course it is, Brad. But, but you know, if you have your analyst hat on, it's, you know, it looks like it's going to be a team that every year is a top 10 program. Have they surpassed Stanford? Have they surpassed Oregon in terms of dominance in the North?
Not yet. Not yet. You're talking about two schools in Stanford and Oregon that have done it over the last decade. It may have fallen off a little bit, but Stanford's not that far removed from winning the Pac a couple years ago. So, you know, I don't want to say that Washington is up there, but it's a building block. It's a process. And there's a lot more parity and competition in the North than in the South, in my opinion. Look, you got Luke Falk at Washington State. You got Justin Herbert at Oregon. And even though they've been down, they still got two, you know, beast running backs, and Royce Freeman's one of them that look to have a big year. And who knows what Willie Taggart and his offensive philosophy that he came from Florida, out of South Florida, is going to be, especially in the Pac-12, how it's going to mesh in men. Washington is up there, and of course, when you have a quarterback, you have a chance. But for me, the critical thing for them, I have to see them manage Jake Browning's throws a lot better. What I mean by that, you think about this kid coming out of the Sacramento area. He threw a lot of passes in high school. He threw a lot of passes in his short career at college. Had some shoulder issues at the end of that Peach Bowl against Alabama. Now it comes a matter of managing him, because you don't want to throw the crap out of his arm to where he doesn't have anything left.
That's interesting stuff there. I'll let you go off that. See you at the stadium Saturday night. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good one, brother.
Always good to talk to you. Lincoln Kennedy there, Pac-12 Network, and, of course, the Oakland Raiders color analyst. Yeah, it's a hard job for him. Because there's like all these guys that are going to be digging ditches and pumping gas. There's nothing wrong with either one of those professions, but they're not NFL players. They're just going to be out there on Saturday night. And you want to see Derek Carr. You know, I'd like to see Marshawn Lynch carry the ball a few times. I'd like to see Amari Cooper. There's some very good players with the Raiders. It's a very, very good team and a good opener for the Cardinals to go through. And the Cardinals starters will go 15 plays. On the other side, we're going to circle back a little bit on the Suns, because there's some Suns stuff today that I think is of interest. But circle back on the Diamondbacks and then Goody at the movies. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So the Diamondbacks, we're going to get over to the Suns in a second, because I've got something I want to show you if we can get to it. The Diamondbacks better start looking out for St. Louis. St. Louis, for the wild card, they're not going to catch the Dodgers. Just to calm you fans down that think they're going to catch the Dodgers, it's not happening, okay? This is not hometown sportscaster saying, oh, they're only 15 or 16 or 17 back. No, they're not catching them. So let's just put that off to the side. But getting to the wild card, like this morning when I'm driving up here to the studio, I'm getting text messages and calls from people that are big fans, business people, friends, that are so caught up in what the Diamondbacks are doing. And it's great to have meaningful baseball being played here in August, and something we haven't had in a while. But you have to look at, can they stay in front of the teams that are hard chasing them down the stretch here? And it seems to me, Pedro's of the opinion, Pedro Gomez, we had Pedro on every other week, that they'll be able to hang on. I am not so sure. Just what I feel like, you know, they win the other night and Milwaukee loses. And then last night the Diamondbacks lose, and you look up and all of a sudden it's St. Louis that's 6.5 back. Now, St. Louis, the type of team that can go on an extended run, I do think they can. Yeah, the Diamondbacks are in a tough part of their schedule right now. They've got the game today against the Dodgers, then they have the Cubs, and they have the Astros, and then the Astros and the Dodgers. And they've got a very difficult stretch here in the month of August. Not the Dodgers next week, but in a couple weeks. And so it is the question of, are they going to be able to hang on to that other wild card spot? Is Colorado the team that is going to fade out? Just when you think the Rockies are going to fade away, they somehow stick with it with their young staff. That's why when you lose a Greinke start, any time that they lose a Greinke start, and Greinke, it's the first time he's lost at home this season. And so the second guessing of Torey Lovello over last night, keeping Greinke out on the mound for one extra batter being Puig, is going to be magnified today because they lost. What's cool is we're living and dying here in the community with every single game and every single pitch. So tonight, you know, you throw Banda out there, and I like what Banda's all about. Banda is this, he's got this little swagger about him, and it's the moment is got to be huge for him on one hand. But on the other hand, I think the Diamondbacks have done a nice job of bringing him up and giving him a couple of chances earlier this season so that this is not an over-the-head moment where you're making your rookie debut on the mound against the Dodgers, a team that you're chasing in the midst of a race. He's already had a few starts. And so I like that. I like how the team has gone about their business. And nice, some of it is injury related. I get that. I do get that. But some of it, too, I think is in development. And so he's going to get a shot tonight. And they've got Yu Darvish on the mound. And Yu Darvish comes in with a lot of hype and a lot of praise. But Yu Darvish was not great this year in Texas. Find a way to win tonight. Take two or three from the Dodgers at home with the Cubs coming into town. And they're expecting huge crowds this weekend for the Cubs. All of a sudden, now you're in a space where the buzz, while it's big now, whoo, goes even more so. Just win tonight, get into the Cubs a little bit of momentum. And I'm really looking forward to that and seeing what the kid can do tonight. All right, the Suns are going to be in the news cycle. The Suns are going to be playing high in your evening news or online, wherever your social patterns are. The Suns are going to be trending here in the next day because they're going to release a new set of jerseys. Whenever this happens, people go gaga over it. I mean, Espo's already put something up on our site, Greg Esposito. So this comes off the Suns site, and this is their little tease video this morning. So you see a lot of purple, and you see it's coming. A little bit of tease there that, what's it going to look like within the locker room? And so the jerseys there, as the guy digs through the bag, you want to get a closer look. Is it going to look like the 1994, 95, 96? Is it going to be throwback type of uniforms? But a lot of purple being put out there. And will fans like that? Will fans flock to it? They always do. Goody at the Movies is next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, getting you ready for the weekend, it is Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, as always. Good to catch up with Bill. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I don't know really what's going on in the world of sports. I know that there's the fourth leg of the last major in golf. That's about it.
Yeah, it is that. The training camp football games, to me, the August football games, it's fake football. So, and the audience knows I'm just not big on it, but it's fine.
You know, that's interesting. I was talking to a friend the other night who's a huge football fan, and he felt the same way. He just felt like it's cheating. It's just a tease.
No, it's a ripoff is what it is, if we're going to call a spade on this. I mean, the baseball team, you're not into the baseball team? You're not into the Diamondbacks?
Yes. I am into the Diamondbacks, right. but the Dodgers are just sort of overshadowing the that's a pretty good story. I mean, I like the Diamondbacks, but the Dodgers is a pretty good story.
Okay, so I open up the homepage, AZ Central, and I see a doll staring at me at like 4:30 this morning, and it creeped me out and it freaked me out. And this is one of the movies coming up here. Are you at a construction site, Bill?
I'm walking through downtown Phoenix. How does that sound?
That sounds like downtown Phoenix. Okay, so Annabelle Creation. This looks creepy. I am not big on dolls. I am not big on doll movies. Are you big on doll movies?
I'm big on scary movies. I don't really.
Well,
I've never
that.
Really. I didn't do that list, but Barbara Vandenberg did. And I did not know that, evidently, now you say this, it's confirming it. I didn't know that it was even that much of like a sort of subgenre of horror, but I guess it is. I guess, you know, you think about the thing I think about maybe are those old Twilight Zones with like the creepy ventriloquist dummies and stuff.
Right, right. Oh, no, yeah, those were creepy. Is this movie any good? Do you know anything about this movie?
I've seen this movie. It is pretty good. It's it goes back to the film a few years ago called The Conjuring, which was actually really good. It was scary. It's based on the real life people who investigated the Amityville Horror case. And it's I liked it. There was a sequel called Just Annabelle a couple years ago that was pretty dreadful, but this is good because it's scary. And I mean, it depends on whether you like scary. If you don't like scary stuff, then no, you probably don't go see it. But at least it has, there's a little novelty to it. Some of the scary stuff actually takes place during the day. The only thing that's a bit off-putting to some people maybe is that a lot of bad stuff happens to younger people, like young girls. But I mean, if you like scary movies, I would recommend it. And that Conjuring series is pretty good. They're smart. They do it right.
And when you say they're smart and they do it right in a scary genre, what do you mean? Elaborate on that.
I mean, it's not just like people slashing people up. It's like building up to like real scares, and they do it just right. I mean, in fact, I spoke to the director of this movie, and he said he really enjoys the build up a lot more than the scary stuff. And that as far as he's concerned, he said, you got to have a payoff at some point. I mean, you're at a horror movie.
Right, right.
But he really likes to extend it as long as he can. And just, you know, just, he said, sort of, the interview should be up. It's pretty interesting, actually. He talked about how, he said, you just have to keep doing worse and worse things to the character. And he said, and finally, it's just like, I can't think of anything else to do. We got to do something serious.
All right. All right. So you like this movie. But if you don't like scary movies, don't do it.
No, not at all.
All right. Wind River. Let's switch over to Wind River. What did you think of Wind River?
I liked it. It's from the same guy who wrote the movie Sicario, which was very good, and the movie Hell or High Water, which is great. And now he's directing. It's only his second feature. His first was a movie called Vile, but nobody saw, and probably good reasons. But he writes it and he directs it, and it's good. He's got this real sense of place. Like, if you saw Hell or High Water, you really got a sense for West Texas if you saw that movie, you know? And here he's on a reservation in Wyoming. It's frozen, solid, tons of snow. And there's a really bad murder there. And Jeremy Renner is like a U.S. game and wildlife kind of a hunter. He gets rid of predators and stuff that mess with herds. Since it's on a reservation, it's a federal crime. So they bring in Elizabeth Olsen, who is like a rookie FBI agent. And they try to solve it. And it's a place where, you know, nobody really wants to solve anything. But one of the cool things that I liked about it was like with Elizabeth Olsen's character, she doesn't pretend like she's all this hot stuff. She's like, look, I don't know anything. I'm stationed the closest by. I'm in Las Vegas. They sent me here, you know. I just want to declare it a murder and get my team here and get out of here. And of course, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, it looks good. Good cast. I mean, interesting.
Good cast. Good acting. Really great setting. What Taylor Sheridan does in his scripts, I think, and all of the ones that I've seen so far, certainly in these three movies, is he shows you a place that you kind of think you know, but seems familiar. But he shows you stuff that you didn't know about it. And a lot of times it's sort of an ugly underside. And I talked to him too, and he said, "Yeah." He said, basically, I feel like every perception I've had of every place that I've lived was wrong. You know, I showed up there, and it was a lot different than I thought it was going to be. So, you know, I like it. If you're going to go see one this week, you know, that's one of the ones I would get to.
Well, and the problem with me is, I'll take my significant other who I've been sleeping with for 29 years and she'll just gaze at Jeremy Renner and I don't exist anymore. So she's got this thing for him. So I might come off as a rock star on that one. So
well, he wears a snowsuit for a lot of it.
Maybe it makes him look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. So I have a chance. Bigsby Bear. Tell me about Bigsby Bear.
Bigsby. It's going to sound stupid, and it may be stupid, but I really liked it. Kyle Mooney, who's on Saturday Night Live, and he always does kind of the weird sketches right after the shows about the end. He plays this kid, and I don't want to give too much about this away, and I know that nobody's going to see it, but for the few who do, I mean, but I don't want to give it away. But he's this 25-year-old man whose whole life revolves around this kid show called Bigsby Bear, and he gets a new episode on VCR every week. and it's in the present, and he's, you know, he knows everything about this weird, bizarre Barney TV show, like, so, but it's got these weird messages, like, curiosity is a bad, you know, impulse and all this stuff. And then something happens that totally upends his whole world. And he's living with a new family, and he's in the real world, and he can't quite resolve, you know, he's been sheltered with this Brigsby Bear thing for 25 years. And his therapist, who's Claire Danes, who's great, she says, you know, you got to cut this thing off completely and live in the real world. But instead of doing that, he decides he's going to make a Brigsby Bear movie and bring it to an end, and that'll be his closure. And it's, and people get on board. Greg Kinnear is fantastic as a cop who's investigating this, but who also wanted to be an actor. So he signs on to be in this movie. And he's great. It's just, it's really, it's sweet, but it's thoughtful, and it kind of gets at a lot of the, you know, things about these, the devotion that people have to things. It's really offbeat, but I like it a lot.
Yeah. I'm looking at the trailer while you're talking. Like, okay, this looks really bizarre. This looks like I have to go have a few adult beverages and then go enjoy this movie.
There's no question that it's bizarre. I mean, I'm not going to try to pretend otherwise.
Yeah. All right. Well, look,
nutty, but it's good.
I think you're going to get me to Wind River this weekend with my wife, so we got that going for us.
I will say that Brigsby Bear is probably safe to just rent later.
Right. We'll see you soon. Stay well. Thanks.
All right.
There's Bill Goodykunz. Good to eat the movies. Always good to catch up with Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central Sports. Chairman of the board today is Jared Nielsen. Edwin Rodriguez was in Eric's spot today, and he didn't screw up. It's pretty good. Eric is off. I don't know. Jared, I didn't give you a deal like the Eric plan of, I think Eric has 100 vacation days a year. Maybe it might be 200 vacation days a year. Guy's always gone. But thanks for being with us. And, of course, all of our content is up on our website at sports360az.com. There's a new segment over there that we shot yesterday. Those of you who watched the second hour of the stream yesterday, we debuted a new show with Jordan Hamm and Haley Stasiak, and it's just high school football. It's once a week. It's on Wednesdays. And it did really well, and a lot of people viewed it. And I don't care if one person views it or 100,000 people view it off the top. It's just, let's just start this. And people liked it. It was well-received. So you might want to check that out. It's called Friday Night 360 AZ. It's up on our website. They have the head football coach from IMG Academy on the show as their first guest. IMG Academy is a nationally known brand that is coming here to Phoenix in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, IMG Academy is going to be playing against Chandler. Chandler probably has, I don't know, dozen Division I players. IMG Academy has about a dozen Division I players. One of them is committed to the U of A. So their head coach talked with Jordan and Haley about building the program. What are these academies all about, and why are they coming here to Arizona to play Chandler High? And that's all up on the website. It's really good stuff. Looking ahead, not looking back on weekends, but looking ahead at trends, teams, games. Ralph Amston from Arizona Varsity is on there covering all the schools down the Chandler School District too. So it's really good stuff. Check it out. Enjoy your day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.